It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and me. We're going to take a look at the latest Windows phone. Denim is out for the Icon. That's Mary Jo's so excited. Windows 10, lots more about the preview. The end of RT, perhaps. Actually, definitely. And a quick way to get Office 2016. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 400, recorded February 11th, 2015. A 3-0 with Leo. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. And by RingCentral, the business phone system that's in the cloud. RingCentral now integrates with Google for Work, so try it with a 30-day risk-free trial. Visit RingCentral.com or call 800-543-9980 and use the promo code TWIT. It is time for Windows Weekly. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the mighty the mighty cup of Thurrott.com. Right.
And it's savory and sweet, Leo.
Paul Thurrott has been our major domo for 8 years now. He is the man in charge of his newest site, Thurrott.com.
Sadly, eponymous.com was taken.
Ooh, a little literary joke there. Eponymous.com. Is it taken? Because that would be hysterical.
That would be fun.
That would be
everything's taken. My
site. Everything. You can't get a site at all. No.
I know.
Mary Jo Foley's also here. She had the foresight to get all about Microsoft.com. Back in the dark ages of the internet. And that's where she resides.
I didn't get it that long ago. I got it about 7 years ago, and I was surprised it was open, too.
Right.
Wow. Well.
But good for me.
Good for you.
Yep.
Paul said, darn, somebody took all about Microsoft. Can I do all about Thurrott.com?
Right. All about, curiously, that one was not taken.
All about Thurrott. Right,
look at that. Look at that. There he goes. Thurrott teacup. I love it. It's a cutie. what's happened since we've gathered last in the Windows world? Mary Jo is crowing. I am crying.
Yeah.
She's got denim on her icon.
I've almost got denim. Almost.
She's getting it.
Yep.
There it is.
So that's 8. What is that? 8.1.1? What is that?
Yep. With the denim firmware update. Yep.
And it's a Lumia firmware update.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people today say, hey, what about us on AT&T? Guys, on Verizon, we didn't even have Windows Phone 8.1.
There is no good news that cannot be countered with just a selfish
But what about me?
You know?
No, but I don't think people realize that. I think they're just thinking we're gloating because we got denim. But actually, we don't even have Cortana on our phones. That's how backward this has been.
Yeah, this is long overdue. There are two sets of updates that you're getting, right? As you know, Windows 8.1 with Cyan and then Windows 8.1.1 with Denim. The former of those two were released last April. Just not on Verizon.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
They almost made a year. Why did they do it?
Yep.
What's the hurry, kids?
I don't know.
Wow.
It's too bad. Mm. So. I get it. I mean, I get the complaining, but by the way, can you imagine? Can just as I wrote on Twitter today, close your eyes and imagine if what Verizon delivered today was 8.1 and Cyan and not denim with 8.1.1. Imagine the absolute just storm of insanity that would have ensued. So thankfully, they brought everyone up to date, or they brought the Icon guys up to date. And by the way, as I also just mentioned on Twitter.
Yeah.
With this update, the Icon is now the single best Windows phone you can buy in the United States. I wish Verizon would actually sell this device.
Oh,
You know?
Wait a minute, they don't sell it? Well, they sell it, but they hire it. You have to find it. You have to trick them into selling it to you. Can you look in the back for an icon?
Jake Kelly on Twitter says that he stopped by his local Verizon store and updated their demo unit to denim this morning. That's so awesome.
Won't it appear automatically? It won't update automatically.
Over time. Yeah, it won't just update it, right? No. It will download to the device.
Yeah. So AT&T has not updated the 1520.
No. Right.
And that's a sadness.
Not yet.
Okay. They will.
There is actually a checkbox I see that you have to have checked that says automatically download updates. Yep. Ooh. So here's the big show off, Alex Gumpel with his. And it's an icon. I didn't know you used an
icon. Look at Alex, if you can. Is he floating about an inch above the floor right now?
He's pretty darn high. Yeah, he's high. So that's nice. Aren't you happy? Phone update. This is what you'll see, you Lumia 1520 owners.
What does that say?
On AT&T. An update will be installed at 3 a.m. on February 12th. You can set a preferred time or tap install to do it now. So it will auto update if you do nothing eventually.
Does it say auto update or download?
An update will be installed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This should take 5 to 10 minutes, but it could take longer. You won't be able to use your phone. So
it should take 5 or 10 minutes, but let's be honest.
So he has the check bar. I don't have this setting, actually, on my 1520. I have a check box that says automatic updates, but it doesn't have the automatic install stuff, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. So I guess Alex would be automatically updated. In 3 a.m. if he doesn't install it directly. I only have this automatically download updates of my data settings. Oh, maybe if it got the update, it would then change to this. Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Too many phones that look like the same phone.
Let's see what the details are. You're up to the details are. It's the Nokia update for Windows Phone.
There might be like one of like maybe three updates it has.
There may be more. He thinks.
Yeah,
get an icon? Is that why?
There's no reason for the update to accurately describe itself. You know,
it's an update.
Mine downloaded a couple of updates, I believe.
Yeah, I got mine through the recovery tool, so I think I got the whole thing blasted down at once.
It makes sense that denim would be separate from 811.
They're delivered together. They are installed together.
Oh, okay.
Right. Well, anyway. And we get Cyan too, right?
You didn't even have Cyan.
We had nothing. We were on Windows Phone 8 with black today.
That's actually very frustrating.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Terrible. For a flagship?
That's
phone?
Very terrible.
That's sad. It really is sad.
Yeah, we didn't have Cortana. We didn't have any of those enterprise features that came out with Windows 8.11, like the VPN stuff or the enterprise Wi-Fi. We had none of that.
But honestly, the biggest change in denim, not even talking about Cyan, but just in denim, is the camera. And this is the thing you'll have to look at, Mary Jo, when you get your update installed. Because, it's about five times as fast as it used to be.
Oh, man.
That's
and then it has
great.
These two awesome features. There's a rich capture feature, which is sort of like an HDR mode on other cameras, except it does HDR, auto exposure, and flash.
Oh, nice.
And it takes this kind of compound image that you can go back and post-process, take the flash out, take the HDR out, change the exposure, use sliders on each of those things as needed. And then save it, and you can change your photo again and again. And then there's a 4K video recording mode where you can pull out, you can actually step through the video frame by frame and save each frame as an 8-megapixel still photo. So instead of taking photos, you can take little videos of events and then pick the best parts of it out as the still photo, still frames as photos. Really neat.
Nice. I'm looking forward to taking rapid successions of beer pictures.
Yes.
Going to make a
get that
big
exact
difference.
Bubble sequence, coming
right.
up from the bottom of the glass.
Exactly.
You could make, what do they call it, the cinematics or cinematographs where the bubbles are the only thing moving. They just rise.
Yeah. I mean, it is, even when you're doing any kind of photo, it's a really, you really feel the lag, right?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not, by the way, that's not unusual. That's pretty common.
Yeah.
In a lot of phones, and I do and when I review phones, I downgrade it for that because it's a shutter lag is just going to keep you from getting good pictures. Because people move.
But I mean, but change. this is the thing though with this update, because it's sort of like an iPhone where as quick as you can tap the screen, it will take shot. You know,
let me try.
Which has never been the case on Lumia before. So that's actually really nice.
Let me just as I said, I have Cyan. Let me just look here on my phone how quickly, if I snap the shutter. Oh, look at that. Focus, take picture.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. Focus, take picture. Yeah. So we could be faster than that. So it's instantaneous, in other words. It's kind of like the iPhone where you press the button and it takes a picture. Yeah. Yeah, see, that's how it should be. It should be. All right. That's good. A lot of Android cameras have that problem, too. Mm. But particularly the Motorola ones, for some reason, which is the Nexus, unfortunately. All right, so how to install? Do you want to talk about how to do it right now? Just check updates, right? Is there anything special?
Yeah, I think at this point, just get it the right way. Before it was officially announced, I had published a way to use that recovery tool to get it because it appeared there.
Yeah,
and you know, to be honest, it works fine. Obviously, I like doing the clean install thing, but if you want to just upgrade your phone, which I think most people will do. Just get it the normal way through.
So that is an advantage, though. The recovery tool will wipe the thing and start over.
Yeah. I mean, you can wipe your phone.
Advantage or disadvantage, right?
Yeah, depending on your
It takes longer. Yeah.
Actually, it was pretty quick.
Bricked my phone, so that's taken an awful long time. It's been like months. It's just sitting on the shelf.
The way it's supposed to work.
No, in fact, it was so funny because everybody, including people who worked for Nokia, said, no. That's not possible.
Yeah, no, that is literally the opposite of how
it's not possible. You cannot brick your phone. So I gave them and in each case they said, "Oh, it did brick your phone." But it was a coincidence. I think the phone died at the same time as I was doing it or something. But I have the AT&T 1520. The only thing I don't like about the AT&T 1520 is there's no Qi charging. I have to use a power mat and I don't have one.
The 1520 doesn't have, is that right?
1520 does have Qi charging, except for the AT&T variant.
Okay.
AT&T decided to use Power Mat.
Right. Good for them, idiots.
Yeah, idiots is the word that leaps to mind, actually. Yes.
Idiot.
Denim is also rolling out to the 1020 and 925 in Europe. That's why I don't have it yet.
It's coming, Leo.
In Europe.
They've said, didn't they say all phones will have it that are getting it by the end of Q1? Wasn't that the proclamation? Well,
and that could be March 31st.
That could be.
Some gnashing of teeth as we get close to that date.
Yeah.
But what about the 1020, Mary Jo?
Yeah. Oh, I get those questions every day.
But what about the phone I have?
Yeah.
On the carrier I'm on in the country I live in?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the 1020 is a special case because a lot of people got that for the camera, the 41 megapixel camera.
Yeah, so here's the sad truth is that you're not going to see the performance improvements probably, you know, that we see on the newer phones. Although, you know, on the 830, which is kind of a mid-level device, and on the 930, which is the same hardware as the Icon or the 1520, the performance differences in the camera are astonishing. But it's the camera specifically, like the camera hardware. Navigating to the camera roll on the 830 is still very slow, and that's to me is processor. So I don't know if the PureView camera in the 1020, you know, will see this kind of performance difference. I suspect not because they very specifically have left it out of any discussion. But yeah, I'm eager to find out.
Yeah. Okie dokie. And then, of course, as soon as I get installed, Windows 10 will be available. Is there going to be Is there going to be a technical preview for phones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
This month sometime.
Yeah. I will do that.
I know. Every day people are expecting it and hoping and waiting. 1 o'clock Eastern, everybody's like, okay, is it today? Nope, not today.
Will I need denim? Will I have to have done all the updates? I mean, do I have to wait now? Or
No.
No. You
do not need denim. Gabe All, knower of all things, has said.
Can I be running, in that case, can I be running 8.0?
If it's a supported phone.
Yeah.
So what we haven't seen is there's a list of supported phones, right, for the first technical preview release they're doing for phone.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that list looks like. But potentially, yeah, right over time. I think they said Windows Phone 8.
Good. Yeah, they did. But we do believe there's going to be a list of phones that will get the update. And then some will say you're going to get Windows 10 for your phone at some future date or a subset of features at some future date. Right.
Right.
Yep. That's what we don't know. And hopefully we will find out on the day this preview goes live. And we don't, you know, I've had people ask me if Paul and I know the date. We do not know
the date. People are positive I know the date. In fact, I know it. Very
Come
aggressively
on.
Have said, well, we I don't know means I do know, but I can't tell you. No, literally, I don't know. I have no idea.
We are not, we are not under NDA on the date. Nope. Either of us are. And in fact, I don't think anybody is that I know of.
Yep. Yep. Nobody knows.
Just so people know. We're not hiding it. We don't know.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know. No, I
don't know.
Believe us. Believe us.
No, I know because we, you know, we have this convention. See, the reason is sometimes you guys will have, you know, something.
Yeah.
Something.
Sometimes we know.
A little up your sleeve or, you know. But there's a convention. You tug your ear when you lie.
Right.
And I don't
actually, what
any...
happens is my left eye starts flicking uncontrollably.
Twitching.
Yeah, it's like a blood vessel that gets constricted or something.
Andy Inako, same thing happens with him and Apple stuff. Yeah. And and he'll just start talking to his imaginary dog when I ask him questions. That's how I know. He must know something, but he don't say nothing. He just keeps on rolling along.
Yeah.
Denim is not a requirement. Rollback tool will be available. Yay! So it's not even a commitment to do this. Love that.
This is for Windows 10.
Yeah, we're talking about the
technical
previewer. Are they going to call it that? Windows 10
Windows
TP?
10, I think it's going to be called Windows 10 Mobile Preview, technical preview. Mm. Because, as we should remind everybody, it's small M, not Windows Mobile, cap M. But
not the same thing.
Not the same thing. But it also is for small tablets, Intel and ARM-based. So it's the same code base that's going to run on the phone and on the small screen tablets.
So it's RT, really, or the RT replacement.
It's a replacement for Windows RT.
Interesting. Yeah. Do we know much about it?
We know a couple small things, right, that we saw at the January 21st reveal event. But
I am so tempted to put
nothing huge.
Big boy Windows 10 on my new Dell.
Are you?
I am so tempted. I have it in a VM on one of my machines, but I'm really tempted. And then I know I'm going to put Windows 10 on the 1520. I just know it.
Yeah, I will too because I'm a goon like that. But I mean, I can't.
You can't recommend it.
I've been, you know, the truth is you get bit by this a lot, right? Yeah. Or I do. You know, this morning I was in the middle of, you know, I was chatting with Mary Jo. I'm on Twitter. I get email going. I'm writing an article. And the screen flashes and everything that is related to to Explorer disappears from my screen. The wallpaper's gone. It's just blue. The taskbar's gone. All my File Explorer windows are gone. And I'm you know, and you try to task manager, restart. Eventually, you just have to shut everything down and restart the computer. And that's not usual, to be honest. This build hasn't been that bad. But it's just, you know, if you're not willing to accept that kind of level of unreliability.
Yeah.
I can crash IE by triggering a download in the browser.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
All right.
You know, and it's just what it's about.
Yeah.
I want to wait. I'm hoping maybe when we get the February preview for the desktop, whenever that will be, and it's supposed to be a different date than when we get the Windows 10 mobile. I'm hoping that's going to be more stable because I still haven't installed it either. I'm just a little
cautious. I don't expect you to.
No, you don't? Good.
No, I think Mary Jo represents the normal.
I am the normal user. Yeah. And I want to try the new features, but it sounds from what I hear people talking about, definitely too buggy for me to use. I would not put it on my main laptop.
This is the exact wrong thing for me to say because, you know, I'm a tech enthusiast.
It's irresponsible of you to say this.
No,
go ahead and say it. Anyway.
To defend Mary Jo's decision making process here, I've spent a lot of time over the past couple of months now. First, because I was preparing for this new technical preview build, and then more recently because I've been writing about that clean PC stuff, and I've been trying to take, you know, PCs that were, you know, screwed up by some PC maker, and install a clean version of whatever came on there. And so that means going back to Windows 7. It means going back to Windows 8.0. And it means going back to Windows 8.1. And I got to tell you, day to day, honestly, it's not a huge difference between these operating systems.
No, Windows 7, actually, 8, that's 8, a 8, good 1, thing 10. To tell us. That's yeah. a good thing to say.
Because ultimately, you know, obviously people like us who are into technology are testing things and looking at things right. and debating little yeah. whether the, yeah. the pixels should be higher or lower on the stupid little line. And, the you know, none of this stuff matters. You know, it really doesn't. Not really. And ultimately, most people are here because they're running their web browser and their email program and, you know, whatever it is, Skype and whatever you do. And you know what, folks, that stuff works the same. Yeah. So it's just not a big deal.
Yeah.
That said, I will scramble as quickly as possible the next time any build is released for anything. I can't kind of get that out of my system, but I Mary Jo's not missing much, honestly.
Yeah, I just want to try it, you know, and I also want to try those new Office Touch First apps. And you need Windows 10.
That would be one reason to do it. You could, you know, it wouldn't be too hard to do like a dual boot kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could also run it in a virtual machine, a Windows 10, a Windows 8.1, or whatever you have has built-in Hyper-V.
You know, I think that's beyond my capabilities.
I don't. It really isn't.
I know. It really isn't. In theory, I know it isn't. But I'm a normal user, and I want to.
No,
stay
I get why you don't.
Guess what? I've got Denim on my phone.
Jesus, yeah.
It took an hour and a half.
Yeah,
so Mary Jo, the money shot, so to speak, is you have to go to settings, and then go all the way down to the bottom.
Show us
info and extras, or extras and info, whatever it's called.
Or I can show you something else that'll prove I have it. I now have Cortana at the bottom.
Oh, God, I can't believe you haven't had it. That's terrible.
You gotta show Denim. Yeah, you can show the screen that says Denim.
All right. Okay. Does it have, you're not going to be happy
like,
till that happens.
Is it like blue jean background, please?
No, but the text is not. Isn't a blue.
No, it's not.
Please,
but
give it
man,
a blue
that
jean.
Took a while. That took a while. Yeah. It took an hour and a half, and right, I, and it depends,
yeah,
it right?
Does, that's what I meant. It takes a lot longer than I say it's going to take.
They said on Alex's thing, it's just going to take a few minutes.
Well, I started it. I manually hit the button
to Kelvin minutes.
Do all the updates.
There it is. Kelvin.
Denim.
I see denim. Yep. And my heart beats so that I can hardly speak.
My phone is boiling hot right now. I could fry an egg on it.
Never thought this was ever going to happen.
Yeah. It's there. It's good.
It's nice.
It worked.
It's a good day.
It's a good day when you get denim.
Let's sign off on that note. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye,
thanks for coming.
Thank you. Let's continue to talk about Windows 10 for phones or Windows 10 mobile Windows Phone 10 for Phone RT.
Well, at least they solved the naming issues. We've always I have a Windows 10 mobile phone.
You said that we'll all phone. What phones will get it? You can't if you're.
We don't know.
We don't know yet.
But
there's going to be some subset right at the beginning here in the first technical preview release, right? And then over time, I think most Windows Phone 8 Plus phones will get it. I think most people will get it.
If you can run 8 Plus, you can.
They've said this. I mean, they've scaled it back a little bit, but they did say that. And they also told Mary Jo and I that at Build, they will expand on how that's going to happen. Because right now, of course, you know, as this icon thing demonstrates, a lot of confusion about how Windows Phone updates get out into the world. And they claim to have some plan for making that happen for Windows 10. So we'll see.
Lower end phones, 512 megabyte versions.
Yeah. Otherwise known as the only phones that have sold at all over the past 2 years.
The cheap ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they won't get the full Windows 10 experience. And you might imagine there are going to be features like, you know, like some of the Cortana stuff and whatever. We don't know yet exactly. But
camera,
some features
maybe
will.
Maybe some camera stuff.
Yeah. It's just like phones are today. When you look across all the Lumia devices, certain phones have certain sensors and not others. And, you know, they're all a little different. They're all little special snowflakes. And, you know, some of them can do some things that others can't. And I think that's very typical in the phone world. So But you know, that will be nice because there'll be another round of whining, everybody when their 520 doesn't play hardware accelerated DirectX 12 games or something, or whatever it is, you know, whatever the missing functionality is.
Now, Mobile World Congress is coming up. Not to rub salt in the wound that Paul is not in Barcelona in March.
I did. Yeah, I signed up to go, and then
Your understanding is there? What? There's not going to be anything for Microsoft.
I didn't say that, Leo.
There is going to be something. They're having a press conference.
I'm just going to sit on Paul for a while. So there is a press conference. Yes, grab your ear. There is a press conference. Well, I'm actually, Paul, I'm quoting Thorat.com, which says, as I understand the schedule, the Nokia Lumia 930 is the last Lumia flagship to be released until Windows 10 hits the streets.
How dare you use my words against me?
In the second half of 2015. And I am inferring from that there will be no Windows, or at least no flagship phones announced.
I would guess that they are not going to announce a flagship phone for the second half of 2015 at Mobile World Congress. But you know what?
They could.
I don't know.
They could announce and not ship.
Right.
But that would be a mistake because they still have inventory.
I think that would be a mistake. I think it's more likely we're going to see some more of those mid-level, bring high-end features down to the lower part of the market kind of devices for around the world. I think that's what we're going to see.
Is there any reason at this point for somebody who wants a Windows phone and wants a flagship to eschew the Icon or the 1520?
No, those phones are incredibly modern even today.
I think so. I mean,
2 gigs of RAM. This 800, you know, Snapdragon 800 processors.
Right.
32 gigs of built-in storage, or 16.
That's a little behind compared to Android's up to 8,
not a
10.
Windows phone. I mean, and you're not going to get one of these out of the box and say, "Wow, this thing's
you don't.
It's really slow.
No,
you know? you're not going to have that experience with Windows phone. It's going to be wonderful.
Still has the best in class cameras, I would say.
Yep. Definitely, and it gets even better with Denim. That's the thing. That's what's amazing. We in the Lumia world, we kind of put up with slow performance of the camera because the quality was so amazing.
Right.
You know, I took these phones on vacations 2 years in a row, took, 1,500 some odd photos each time. Amazing vacation photos. Being able to do that now with a much quicker camera, but have it otherwise be the same exact hardware, right, is an amazing thing. This is an amazing update.
So you got the 930 is the Icon, right? That's the same as the Icon.
Leo, it's like getting a new phone in your phone.
You got a unlocked Nikon. We've mentioned before, both of us get unlocked phones from Expansys US.
Yep.
Although sometimes you should beware.
Sentence that you quoted.
Yeah, I do.
As if to further rub it into my face.
Paul, see this sentence
There's
here?
There's no proof that I wrote that.
See this byline there? See this sentence here? I can't, just because I can't get it on the same page.
That's when I do the spit take.
What? You don't remember writing that, eh? Yeah. No. I
wrote it yesterday, but yeah, okay.
Well, one, we should mention, when you do buy, at least from Expansys, but I bet this is the case else other places, you don't, for instance, my 1520 was the Latin America version.
Right.
You don't know exactly
what
you're
Thailand.
In. Yeah, see? That doesn't mean you can't change the language and make it look exactly like a U.S. Right. Lumia. You get the international features.
Yeah, by the way, that itself is kind of an interesting tip I should write up, because depending on where it's from, it comes up with a different language and or keyboard.
Right.
So even when you switch to U.S., it does the dual language thing. And so you get this additional key in the keyboard for switching between the languages getting rid of that stuff isn't super difficult, but it's actually not a bad.
Are the antennas and the frequencies all the same across the board? Do they change?
So no. So that's the problem. And if you live in the United States and you're on a GSM-based network, AT&T or T-Mobile, you need to kind of do a little bit of research and see where you're going to fall on that kind of stuff.
I couldn't get LTE on that 15.
Right, and I cannot get it on mine here in the United States. Yeah. But you know what? I having used so many international devices over the years, I know that from personal experience, for me, this is not an issue.
Doesn't do glance.
And when I'm out in the world.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm reading
it. No, go ahead.
It doesn't do glance.
That's a 930 thing to do with the hardware. Yeah, the 930 and the Icon both don't have glance.
Oh, okay. But you should be aware of the frequencies. And Expansys is pretty good about explaining what you're going to get and what frequencies
they work. They explain all the bands that you're going to get, both, the 3G, 4G, or 3G, 8, the different whatever they are, all the way up through LTE. And you can go compare those to what you have on your carrier.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's not, you know, AT&T doesn't have an about page that says, oh, by the way, here are the exact. I mean, you have to kind of look this stuff up.
Right.
It's out there.
You could probably Google it, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was surprised at the price. $400, that's very affordable.
Especially for this kind of hardware. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's not what the unsubsidized price was on Verizon, I'm
you
sure.
Could, a no contract, but I think locked to AT&T version of the 830 is $400.
Yeah.
These phones are night and day performance-wise and also camera quality-wise, although that's gotten a little easier with Denim. But, I would pick the 930 over the 830 every single time. There's no comparison.
Yeah. Okay.
And I did.
And you liked it. Yes. And you liked the 930.
Listen,
I love
this phone. And yeah, this is my phone.
Oh, good choice.
And by the way, you know, I just not to drive this point home so many times, but I think this is important. I can use any phone I want. Yeah. I have all kinds of phones.
Yeah.
I mean, I paid $400 of my own money to get this phone. I didn't have to do that. I could have used anything else. You know, I really do prefer this phone.
Yeah.
It's a great, great device.
I like the 1520.
Yeah.
That's awfully big. That's 6 inches. And I think just playing with Alex is
some people,
icon,
this is,
that's a nice size.
Some people love it. Yeah. Some people find it too big.
Yeah. So you and Mary Jo are now using essentially the same phone.
Yep.
Isn't that cute?
Aw.
But it does sound like the agreement is that the 930 / icon is probably the sweet spot of size, functionality.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Mary Jo would tell you, too. It's a slab of a phone. It's a little big.
Slabby. It is. It is.
But compared to previous Lumia, unibody Lumias, it's not as dense and heavy. I find it to be kind of a cool.
I'm going to say the 1520.
I love the 1520. If that had been on Verizon, I would have used that phone.
It's going to set you back more money, and it's bigger. Yeah. But you get Glance, for one thing.
Yep.
Yeah. You get micro SD expansion, too.
Yep. There's a little SD card slot, which I haven't used. How does Windows Phone handle that well? I know when it first came out, it did really well,
especially with the newer versions. Yeah.
And I think this UI with this real estate just is great. Boy, I love having all that screen size there. It feels like a little mini tablet.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
But you like?
I just found it to be too big.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people do. In fact, I'm carrying the little mini iPhone in my pocket.
Yeah,
it's so cute. It's so cute and tiny now. Looks very small. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back. Windows 8.1 with Bing. That's what I've got here on my HP Stream 13.
Yeah, how do you like that?
It's okay for the price. It's amazing. I mean, it really is like a real computer for $229.
Yep.
But I wouldn't. Dell a lot better. Let's put it that way.
Sure. Sure. Slight price difference, though.
Like $1,200.
Yeah. You could buy 4 or 5 of those things for the price of Dell.
Yeah. So that's, I just reviewed it yesterday before you buy. And that was I said, it's a Chromebook, effectively. It's something you'd give a student or somebody who really is budget constrained. If you can afford to get better, I would. But for the price, it's surprising.
Yeah.
It ain't bad. Yeah. And it is Bing. So we'll talk about Windows 8.1 with Bing.
Yeah.
In fact, I give a lot of credit. Well, we'll talk again about this. But I give a lot of credit to Microsoft for products like the Stream. I think without Microsoft putting Office on it and cutting the price of Windows, that product doesn't exist. Or it's not as successful anyway.
Right.
Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. Paul and I are Audible fanatics. We love listening. I got an email from somebody who said, it's down to listening to you or Audible. And I think, I feel like maybe I've let the camel's nose under the tent here, but... Golly, I love Audible so
as we
much.
Say here in Massachusetts so often.
Yeah. Camel's nose under the tent. Yep. Audible is the place to go to get audiobooks, 150,000 strong, bestsellers, nonfiction as well as fiction. I listen to a lot of books about the computer and technology industry on Audible.com. As you can see here, based on your Amazon and Kindle book purchases, we recommend, this is a weird mix, The Agile PMO, leading the effective value-driven project MANA, the art of Scrum, the art of doing twice the work in half the time, and Shakespeare, the biography. It all...
Yep.
I guess I'm an eclectic reader here. Oh, and Chaucer, too. Bestsellers, brand new 50 Shades of Grey movie coming out. Better read the book before you see the movie. You want to know how it ends. The Girl on the Train is really good. Caesar. Is that a history of Caesar? Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I might have to add that. Tracing the Extraordinary. Oh, wow, this looks good. Only 24 hours of listening. What are you listening to these days, Paul?
Well, I'm actually going through some of those James Bond books. I didn't want to do another one of those as a pick.
What's at the bottom of my page. I can only scroll down to the bottom of my page. It's all James Bond.
Yeah. They're really good. I mean, they're almost historical at this point. They're interesting.
They're different readers, or I see Toby Stevens.
Yeah. Although, by the way, they all sound exactly the same. Yeah, it's really
all British.
But they sound great. I mean, they're all awesome. Those are good. But and as some World War II stuff. I don't want to bore anyone with the same stuff over and over again. But one of the things I grabbed, I want to say during the horror sale they had over Halloween, months ago. I just finally listened to it. It's short. It's a novella called Who Goes There by John W. Campbell. It is, I think it was written in the 1950s, but it is the story that forms the basis of the movie versions of The Thing.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
And it's only 2.5 hours long. It's great. It's really good. And there's a kind of a nice introduction by the author of Logan's Run, I think, right? Who was basically saying that this is kind of one of the prototypical science fiction stories.
It's like a must-read sci-fi.
Yeah, it's great. And it's, I don't know. I wouldn't get this one for free as a new member, but if you're on Audible, because it's so cheap, But if you're on Audible, just buy it instead of using a credit because it's one of the shorter ones. But I like these kind of shorter books and stories because I can kind of bang through them quickly. I get bogged down in a lot of longer Audible stuff, but this is a really cool one.
I have to say, I love the science fiction. One of the things that Audible did is they went back with their Audible Frontiers program to re-record classic sci-fi that was never an audiobook.
Right.
And so you have a chance to hear, look at all the Heinlein stuff.
I check back a lot because in the early days it was basically two Purnell Niven books and nothing else,
And then all of a sudden they have everything.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all Heinlein stuff. Look at this. X-1, the old-time radio series. They have more than books. Lots of stuff here. Here's the deal. We're going to get you one book free. So that's why we mention all these books, because we want to give you an idea of the kinds of things you can get for free. Go to audible.com/windows. audible.com/windows. Pick your book. You got 30 days. You also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal read to you as part of your subscription. You can cancel any time in the first 30 days. Pay nothing, but the book is always yours to keep. My Heart and Other Black Holes. That sounds good, huh? This is really the hardest thing to do is to come here and go, let me pick a book. But if you get the subscription every month, you get a credit, and you can say, a new trilogy from Michael Moorcock, The Whispering Swarm.
What? Which one?
This is brand new, The Whispering Swarm, The Sanctuary of the White Friars, Book 1. You've read Moorcock's stuff?
What? Oh, my God, of course.
This is new.
Forum books.
This just came out.
It's the Albano Elric, Sega, sure.
See?
Also... Wow, wait a minute. This is early one. It's been a while.
Yeah.
This can't be new, though.
This is brand new. He did Behold the Man, Gloriana, and his...
It's like, not Book of Blood, but like... Mark.
This just came out.
Look this up.
So I'm excited. This is one of the things that's great about Audible. Now you're going to wish you had two credits. Go to audible.com/windows. Get that free book. Listening.
The Swords Trilogy. That's Quorum. No,
you're missing everything. It's all going by you if you don't get audible.com right now. Don't miss out. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Winders. I love Winders. Calling it Winders.
Now you've got me. I'm well, yeah, I can look up Michael Moorcock here.
Let me look up Michael Moorcock.
I know. I'm trying to think of this. Okay. I've read so much of this, but it was so long ago.
I didn't. You know, I haven't read any of his stuff, so I'm gonna have to try it. This is actually new to Audible. They haven't had his stuff before, so maybe that's a lot of stuff that's not been recorded.
So he's still alive. That's amazing to me.
He is. Yeah, he was born in 39, so he's getting on. He's 75 years old. I'll give you the bibliography if it'll help you. It's all.
And I got it up.
Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, I read the Elric books, and
The Knight of the Swords, The King of the Swords, Jade Man's Eyes, Sword and the Stallion, The Hollow Lands. I think.
I mean, they're
I
all the
that.
Eternal Champion, basically.
Gloriana.
Quorum.
He did the Elric series, the Quorum
that must be what
series.
I'm thinking of. Swords. Just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the Book of Swords or something. Or the
Flux. I think I read Flux. That was good. That was part of the series. He likes to write these series.
Yeah.
Oh, you recommend.
Well, I got to go back and look at this now. Now you've screwed up my whole day. Thank you.
Paul has really only two things he cares about: Call of Duty and reading. Did I say audible.com/MacBreak? I apologize. Let's give you credit. It's audible.com/Windows. Windows. don't go with the MacBreak. You'll be sorry. No, it's all right. It all comes out in the wash, but. For Paul and Mary Jo's sake, audible.com/
For the children.
Windows. For the children. Do it for the children. Moving right along in our endless list of things to talk about, Windows 8.1 with Bing. Now, is that a $0? That's subsidized.
It is on certain device types, yep.
And 8-inch, sub-8-inch screens. It's, yeah. But when I get it on my 13-inch... Actually, was asking this yesterday. Does HP get a deal by putting that on the stream? I mean, is it just cheaper?
Actually, it depends on which stream you're talking about.
Oh,
so,
okay. So the 13-inch sizes. The 13-inch is not $0.
Right. And that's the – so Mary Jo should talk about that a bit because
– I was just going to say the way that the with Bing SKU works is it's $0 because Microsoft gives OEMs money back. So they charge them, I think it's $15, and then they give them back the $15.
I get it.
Yeah. So technically, yeah, it's free or low cost. For certain sizes of screens, it's actually $15 to an OEM. So
look
it's
how happy that girl is to use Office 365.
I'm so happy. By the way, the screen flicker you see is not on visible in person. It's just from the interaction with our cameras. But I did give credit for the low cost of the stream to Microsoft because I'm putting Office 365 on here. For a year, is it, 100 gigabytes or a terabyte
storage?
Yeah, but
you know what? So I think more of the credit needs to go to HP, obviously, not just because they made the computer, but I mean, Microsoft made this deal to everyone, and there's a lot of crap out there.
Right.
I mean, you can buy chintzy low-end Windows computers,
right?
Of course. You know, I think the thing that differentiates the stream is just the quality of the construction. You can tell these guys actually cared about this,
yeah.
You know, where... In the past, we didn't get a lot of evidence of that from HP or from anyone else. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, and the OEM doesn't have to pass the cost savings on either. I mean, right?
Yes.
Microsoft
right.
can
so
make
they,
it $0.
They don't bundle crap anymore now, right? Because they're getting Windows for free?
Yeah. No.
That would be good if that were true. Yeah, that would be good.
So a price hike?
Yeah, the story is weird, isn't it?
I don't get this. Yeah, I
know. This was a report in the Register today,
right?
Saying that some of the OEMs who make devices larger than 14-inch screens who've been getting the Windows 8.1 with Bing SKU are going to now be charged more by Microsoft for
only
that.
Only a little bit more, you know. So you know, it's like $15. Maybe it'll be $16.
We don't know, right? We don't know that. Right. How do you even know
15? Because they don't reveal this, do they?
They accidentally or maybe on purpose published the table about the pricing to their OEM center, and Paul and I both have run that pricing table on our sites. So we do know the exact price, actually.
Information wants to be free, Leo.
It's the first time. I mean, for a long time, we wondered and speculated about what OEMs pay for Windows.
So. Yeah. Yep.
So we don't have kind of a history to know if 15 is really, really good or really bad or just normal. Or
well, we had some ideas in the past, you know, $35 to $50, right?
Yeah, depending that's on what's speculation, right?
For Windows. So, you know, it's better than that. And it's probably not as high as I bet a lot of people might have guessed.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that people typically underestimate what that translates to in a price point. You might say, well, there's a big deal. They're saving $15 on Windows, so what? But that can make a big difference. That can make a $100 difference in price point.
Yeah, and it's really hard to understand this stuff because, you know, we don't manufacture hardware. But think about a laptop that has two USB ports, and one of them's USB 3 and one of them's USB 2. And you think, well, why do they do that? Like, why wouldn't you have one of them, both of them just be USB 3, have both of them always charge devices when they're plugged in and even when the device, you know, the laptop's off? Like, why would you make this so confusing to people? And it's because of the price of the components. And we're talking about cents, right? Per part, cents, like single digit cents, I think, in many cases. But these things kind of, you know, this is the razor thin margins that we're in, you know, in the PC world.
Right. And when you're an OEM and you're making millions of PCs, right? Then $10 or $15 per device that you're paying Microsoft, that starts adding up, right?
Yeah, but I mean, don't you just build it into the price of the computer? I mean, it's not like it's...
Yeah, you do.
So the question I think people have in their mind is, well, wait a minute. The OEM is saving $20 per computer.
Sure.
Or costing more. Does that mean that the price goes up $20? No, typically I think that means the price goes up $40.
Sometimes.
Right. Or more, right? Or not?
Well, the theory here, yeah. So we don't know what the price hike is. So we don't know how this will impact prices. But I think it's fair to say if Microsoft raises the Windows licensing price, generally, price of computers will go up.
I think it's right. But, well, we know that. Yeah. It's only about, the question is how much.
Matter of right degree. That's, but we don't know
how much. There is a multiplier. I don't know what the multiplier is, but there is a multiplier.
But there's also the fact that they have to stay competitive with their competition, right? So they can't jack the price way up because right. then...
Well, by the way, this report specifically says very minor price hike.
Right.
Like this is,
and, you know, some of these devices are competing with Chromebooks, right, which are already pretty cheap. Right. So if Microsoft jacked up the price by $15, the OEM jacked it up by 40, that, you know, that's how price sensitive some consumers are. They see a PC that's maybe $50 more than another, and it's like, hey, I don't even care that it's a Chromebook. Boom.
Yeah,
I'm buying the Chromebook.
I think when you look at the Chromebook market, what you see is 11, 13, and 14-inch devices. You don't see a 15-inch Chromebook anywhere. You certainly don't see a 17-inch. And so if, you know, looked at logically, restricting Windows 8.1 with Bing to devices that are under 14 inches. Is there, let me see, 14?
Yeah,
I think
it's 14.
Yeah, under 14. You know, they're kind of hitting the Chromebook market right there, right? They're still in that market. You know, under 9, I think it's under 10 or 9 inches or whatever, it's Windows is free anyway. So the price of that thing is not changing. And I don't have recent MPT data in front of me, but everything I've seen has said that it's the smaller devices that are selling, the most. But this report says that the bulk of sales of Windows with 8.1 with Bing laptops were 15 inches.
What?
That's weird. That doesn't 80%? Even make sense.
Who makes that? It's just wrong.
I don't know. I mean, Amazon and I looked at the top 10 best-selling laptops, four of them do have screens that are 14 inches or bigger. Four of them have an 11 or 12-inch screens, and three have 11-inch screens. Six of the 10 run Windows. The other two are four are Chromebooks. That's not 80% of 15-inch screens, you know, for one thing. In fact, three of the 10 were 15-inch screens. Four of the 10 were 14-inch or higher. So, I mean, you know, again, this is U.S. versus U.K. I don't know. But
like 13-inch screens. I don't want 15-inch screens.
Yeah. Well, once you move up to those bigger devices, you're literally getting a bigger device. Like, it's a big, hulking.
I'm surprised that they make one with Bing.
Yeah.
Well, there's more margin in that. Once you get to that point.
There's... Well, there's more. There's still cheap devices, right? $300-$400 devices.
Oh, well, that's how they do it.
Giant 15-inch screen or something.
So what does with Bing get you? I mean, what is Windows 10? Windows 8.1 with Bing? How is that different from Windows 8.1 without Bing?
So when you get the PC, it comes with Bing preset as the search engine.
That's it?
But you can change it. And it also, I think, has MSN as the preset homepage. Again, you can change it.
That's it?
That's
well,
it.
Well, a lot of users don't know how.
No, they don't change it.
Right?
It's the tyranny of the default. That's why IE is still
Skype,
number one, right?
Right? Skype installer. Two checkboxes.
Yeah.
Right. Make Bing my internet search engine of choice.
Yeah.
Make MSN my Internet Explorer homepage.
Well, I don't know if Microsoft pays Google when Google's the default search engine, but I know that, or maybe Google pays them. I don't know. I know that they probably prefer it that you use Bing. I guess they prefer it a lot.
Look, whatever the percentage is here, the notion that this change is going to turn around, you know, like Windows licensing revenues is ludicrous. I mean,
no.
The majority of Windows device sales are these low-end devices, especially when you factor Windows Phone. I mean, it's all of that device. I mean, they're not making money at selling Windows. I mean, I think that's just the way it is. I think that's the way it's going to be going forward. I don't see any way to fix that.
Right.
By the way, on the 15-inch size, I've got one of our listeners saying Best Buy had Acer, Toshiba, Asus, and Gateway all in 15-inch sizes at holiday. Right. So,
you can find them. The very first Windows 8.1 with Bing machine I had, and I still have, was a 15-inch Acer. You know, because it's cheap. I'm like, oh, I just want to check. I want to see what is it really like to use this thing? You know, it's like $300. It's, you know, you can get it. I just think the appearance of these smaller, thinner, more attractive devices will make people think otherwise. You know, I could get this hulking huge thing.
Right.
Or I could get this kind of nice looking thin small light device.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
I don't know.
Yeah. We're throwing that out there because we don't really have any.
It just doesn't ring true to me.
It seems odd. It does. But, you know, I will say the one thing we do know Microsoft's doing going forward is they're bowing to market pressure on smaller devices and making Windows free. But they're not going to make Windows free everywhere or to everybody. And I think that's a good thing to keep remembering. You know, they're going to keep charging business customers for Windows with Windows 10. And they're going to charge OEMs for certain versions of Windows 10 too. It's not going to just be, hey, Windows is free now and we're not going to make money off of it. That's not the way that's going to work.
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge to the PC industry, as it is to the Windows Phone business, is how do you convince people to buy expensive devices? You know, how do you make something that is as high quality of say, an Apple device and can command the same kind of pricing premium and have that be a choice that those people make, you know? That's a tough one. I mean, Mary Jo and I have spent a lot of money on Ultrabooks that are thin, light, and, you know, they're kind of expensive.
Yep.
And I don't think those kinds of things are super mainstream in the Windows world.
No.
Well, there you go. There you go. It's funny, I guess, it's because of the market and the perceived value, and I guess, but I just so much would rather have an Asus S7 or a Dell 13.
Yep.
But it's expensive, and people just don't want to spend that, I guess.
I mean, you know, we can go back and forth on this for months at a time, I guess. But, you know, Apple, by not having a $300, $400 laptop.
They just eliminate that conversation.
Just says, look, we have, we have this premium product, and people accept that.
Yeah.
And the Windows world, it's tough because you look at this thing that's over here, it's $300-$400. And someone's trying to sell you a $1,200 version of it over here. And it's like, well, I mean, I get that the $1,200 one is nicer, but is it $800 nicer?
Right.
And it's that's a tough conversation for most people.
Right.
And I think most normal people just ultimately decide they're not going to spend that kind of money.
Right.
That's just, I don't know how you fix it. I know you have multiple versions of Windows. And you could have like this ultimate extras program where you got all this extra stuff. I don't know.
Let's see. I didn't know this. Office 2016. If I had moved fast, I would have been able to to get a copy, huh?
Yeah, Briefly.
What's the deal? What happened?
This week, Microsoft, I think, accidentally opened the preview of the desktop version of Office, the Office 2016 product. They made it available to anybody who went to their Microsoft Connect site, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, not Connect. All you had to do was agree to the NDA. You could download the bits, and you had it. I don't think they intended to do that, though. I get them saying, yeah, we want to expand the preview, but I don't think they meant
not to
this
everybody.
Way. Yeah. I had heard from one of my contacts that they had a cap where they were trying to get some more people into the preview, but they didn't want this giant flood all at once because it's still pretty early days. And that once they hit the total, they capped it. And so if you didn't get in that little window, you didn't get it.
So it wasn't an accident.
I think the way they did it was the accident.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're trying to get more people into the preview was not an accident.
Right.
And, you know, I think Paul has seen some of these early bits and I've seen them through some of my sources. And there's not a whole lot that's different right now in Office 2016. They've had preview bits out for a number of months. The latest drop of the preview bits was in late January. And so far, it's very minor things that they've tweaked in Office since Office 2013. There's things like now you can have a black theme. Okay. There's little things they've done around some of the, I think, Power Map or Power Query, one of those. There's just not like some revolutionary features in these preview bits so far that that kind of makes me wonder like, wow, what's taken 3 years to build this new version? I don't know. So far, yeah, you're not missing a lot if you didn't get that preview build.
Right. Microsoft Work Assistant, what's that?
Yeah, so this was another thing that was, I think it still is in the Windows Phone Store.
I see you're doing a podcast. Would you like some help?
Yeah, right. Kind of like that. Some people said, is this Clippy? Clippy come back from the dead? It looks like something that's going to work with Cortana. And I think when we saw during the January 21st event where they showed you could say to your Windows 10 device something like, give me the slides for my next meeting, that it would know what you meant by that. I think Work Assistant is that piece of technology that is the bridge that brings things like OneDrive and Office to Cortana. So I don't know if it's going to stay a separate app the way it is right now in the store. It's a private beta. You can't get that app, but we can see that it's there. But I think it ultimately is part of Microsoft's whole plan to create this whole idea of a personal agent technology where at some point in the future, you'll be able to say to your device something like, help me plan my son's birthday party. Right. And it'll start knowing what that means, who your son is, what you have to do to plan that event. That's way, way down the line. But I think this is kind of the first step towards that as they move forward with Cortana and make Cortana more of a useful technology.
Okay.
I know it's been kind of a dull week on the Microsoft.
Yeah,
week. Except for the
Xbox. Xbox. Yes.
See what I mean?
And that. I just woke up. Xbox. What you got there for us, Polly boy? I figure you wrote this. Actually, I just
once I'd like Mary Jo to introduce one of these.
I'm like, I have no idea.
I did just download the February update.
Yeah. I mean, no huge surprises. There's a second controller update for the Xbox One controller, which is actually
that. And it does pair faster. I think that was one of the things.
Yeah. You got to really go find that one. But I mean, looking over the list of stuff that's in here, I mean, there's some nice little stuff on the dashboard, custom backgrounds with
and the transparent tiles. I like that. Yeah,
a bunch of TV updates. And then these game hubs, which are sort of like the hubs you see for yourself and for other players, except just around a game. And so you can kind of go in and look
at that too.
All the achievements, the leaderboards, you know, see who else is playing it that's in your friends list, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so it's like an activity feed for a game instead of for a person, which, you know, when you think about it, is really obvious and kind of a cool feature. Yeah. So cool. I think that's most of it. I mean, it's...
Install it. If you if you install it, then you can you have to manually update your controllers.
Yeah, that doesn't happen automatically. And in fact, if you have never done it, you might discover you have two updates. So, but it's worth doing.
You get a USB. You put a USB cable into the Xbox.
And you go into settings and
Plug it into your controller, and it's pretty quick. It takes about I don't know 2 or 3 minutes. I updated my controllers. I did notice though that they pair much more quickly.
Yeah,
which is nice. I use my Xbox One every day, and almost some gaming, but mostly as a media center.
I've been mostly using an Xbox 360 recently.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah, because all the old Call of Duty games are on there.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
I've been playing some new games. You know, I'd never played Far Cry. I actually quite enjoy Far Cry.
Far Cry is awesome. So, did you get the new Far? Was it Far Cry 4?
Yeah, and it's beautiful. I want to get that. You know, it's beautiful.
I know. Far Cry used to be like a graphics test for your PC when it first came out. Right. You could run that thing. You know, you had a pretty decent PC and it was beautiful.
It is gorgeous. It's a fun game. It's got an extraordinarily long kind of open to the game.
Yeah, they always do. That's very common for Far Cry.
A lot of story, but the story is interesting. And once you get into the game, it's very challenging. There's lots of things you can do. It's quite fun.
Yeah, I think I'm going to look at that one.
I would. You're a shooter, and there is a...
I was going to look at Evolve, but Evolve, you know, the more you... Evolve just came out on Tuesday, so like yesterday. If you look closely at this game, what you realize very quickly is this is Left 4 Dead, except with giant monsters that evolve instead of
except that
zombies.
You can be the monster, which is kind of cool.
Okay. But I mean, it's just, you know...
There's nice. There's different... So the idea is that
team play oriented, but that's what I mean.
A monster is evolving, and you have a team. You can either be the monster and try to evolve to the point where you win, or you could be the team trying to fight the monster, and each person on the team has different
roles.
This
is an elaborate version of like a King of the Hill type game where it's going to... You know, it ends. You know, like you don't really... I mean, I guess you could technically win, but really, you know, at some point
it's
you get over.
How long can you survive?
Yeah.
I played the beta, and I didn't enjoy it enough to buy it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Far Cry's fun. What you're seeing now is a lot. There's now a lot of choice, a lot of kind of oddball indie type games, side scrollers, and puzzle games, which is fun.
I know you've already done this, but the Walking Dead games, for example, on Xbox One, those are fantastic. I don't know if they're doing a Game of Thrones series right now, which I think is an Xbox One. Those kind of games are kind of neat, too. And they kind of harken back to that era of, you know, Sierra Online type games like King's Quest, Police Quest, and Leisure Suit Larry and all that kind of stuff.
That's fun.
Yeah, those are neat games.
Dragon Age Inquisition is interesting. It's not my kind of game, but if you like that kind of game, it's pretty good.
Mary Jo, what are your favorite free Xbox One games?
What games do you like?
No particular order.
Minecraft.
Minecraft's on there. It's on there.
Minecraft.
I thought I saw her nodding off.
You know, if you ever had nieces or nephews come over, the Plants vs. Zombies first-person shooter is actually really great.
Right.
It was a little buggy when I played it, but it's really fun. It's on the Xbox 360 as well. But it's a shoot 'em up you can let kids play because there's no blood. Mm-hmm. You're just shooting plants. It's a vegetarian shooter. You'll enjoy it, Mary Jo.
Woo! I don't have an Xbox, so it doesn't matter.
We'd like to tease you.
Sorry, guys. I just cannot share your enthusiasm for the Xbox.
Are there any exclusives out or coming now? Seems like it slowed down after Destiny.
On the Xbox One?
Yeah.
No, nothing.
Nothing
in the short term that I'm aware of. But, you know, Microsoft does those. Obviously, every month they have the deals, like the free games.
And I've been doing that because that's great.
Yeah. And they also, but they also have deals. And so, for example, that game you were just talking about, Far Cry 4, was available recently for $40 through,
I bought it. Yep. Yeah.
And that's $20 off. I mean, that's not too shabby right there.
Here's the denim update on the icon for camera. I know you already have it, Mary Jo, but let's just see how much faster. Oh,
yeah.
Night and day.
There we go.
Night and day. I mean, there's still a little bit of that focusing thing, but.
But so do this. Like, focus on something and then just start tapping the shutter.
Once it focuses.
Well, let's tap the screen and focus. Sorry.
I'm too close, probably. All right.
And then you can...
Yeah, now it's pretty quick. That's a lot faster. It's still,
Well, that's...
It's not instant.
It's not as fast as what I'm seeing.
What am I doing now? Am I filling up your phone with pictures?
Hopefully.
Shortcut to recording high quality video. Wow. Nice. This is a nice phone, although, you know, it is hot from the update. It's pretty warm.
Really, it hasn't been used in a while that hard, so.
it's panting. It isn't. Hasn't been doing.
What is this thing you're making me do?
Hasn't been doing it.
I've never done this
aerobic
before.
Exercise. You know what we didn't talk about? Yesterday was Patch Tuesday. Microsoft shipped 4,753 patches. No.
You know,
it wasn't that many, but it seemed like it, didn't it?
It sure did feel like it.
Holy cow.
I initially kind of overreacted to the IE6 stuff because a bunch of the patches were for
IE6.
Right. Oh.
There was one for Windows Server 2003, wasn't there?
Right, which, of course, is still supported through July. So, and by the way, some of them applied to, I don't remember the exact name anymore, but it's Windows Server 2003 SP2 for Itanium.
You know, but you still had to download it?
Yikes. No, I mean, if you happen to be running this version of the OS, which I'm sure a lot of you are, it was patched.
Yeah.
So make sure you get your updates.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So I have to restart to get all my updates now here. Where can I see? They kind of hide how many updates there were. I guess I just restarted.
Well, so...
I just updated my Windows 7 machine right before the show, and I think I had something like 32.
Right.
I guess
you can go to update history and see the list. Yeah.
It was
a
lot.
A lot of it hasn't happened yet. It was not a good month.
And many of these were critical or serious, right?
Yeah. Forty-one security patches for IE were all critical.
Yeah.
There was the one that Google had pre-announced for everybody. Thanks, Google. plus a bunch of others, you know.
Yeah. But, hey, here's the good news. I don't look at it that way. I look at it like it's a positive. Like, look at all the stuff that's fixed.
Okay, so this is like the Bill Keane cartoon, and this is why I hated that guy. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but...
You mean Family Circus?
Yes, this will describe my feeling for Bill Keane in a nutshell. Two kids sitting on a couch looking out the window. There's an ambulance going by.
Yeah.
One of the kids says, oh, I'm so sad. Somebody got hurt. And then the other one says, oh, I'm so happy. Someone's getting help.
Yeah. Aww. There you go. I'm that other kid.
It makes me crazy. Kid.
Why does that make you crazy? That's a good comic.
I don't know. There's something it's just so awful. I don't know.
Come on.
I always hated that guy.
Now, Family Circus is really horrible. It's a really hard... Oh, wait a minute. Mary Jo, do you like Family Circuses?
My dad used to love Family Circus.
It's a dad comic. You know what? It's a dad comic.
Little
dad
Billy runs around the neighborhood with his little, you know, treasure map footprint thing.
It's a dad. It's exactly what it is. In fact, if you go back, if you remember newspapers, and you remember...
I've worked in newspapers. Yeah,
You remember that the newspapers used to have a comic page...
Sure.
But if you ever read the comic page, you'd realize that 90% of the comics are like, oh, that was amusing.
Actually, there are many ways you can define the maturity of a human being. But one of them is, as you're reading newspapers, as you get older, you go from reading the comics first to reading the comics last. And then kind of saying most days, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, you know.
Yeah. It's like.
If you're a reader, that's kind of how you evolve.
Thanks to the World Wide Web. And the internet, you can now read Family Circus online.
Look, oh, don't show me that.
Little Billy has slipped. He says, I keep slipping on this floor. Is that why these are called slippers?
Flowers for Algernon. That's why they're called slippers. Seriously.
Oh!
Are you kidding me?
Oh! Come on.
Is that why you're called slippers?
God. It makes me crazy. Those cartoons are so terrible.
Come on. Okay, here we go.
It's like the United States was never that innocent.
He's
like, this is an imagined world.
By the way, I think it must be his son because it's Bill and Jeff Keane.
By the way, even in Peanuts, the girl with Lucy would pull the ball away and Charlie Brown would get nailed. There was some violence there.
There's no edge in Family Circus.
No, zero. It makes me nuts.
Here's another one.
Oh, it's so
This
awful.
Was yesterday. See, it's a little digital. If we all sing together, we can call ourselves a 3-0. Does he mean 3.0?
What is it?
3-0? Oh, instead of a duo, I'm a 3-0.
Oh, a duo.
Oh, God.
It's so dumb. It took us a long time to get
we
it.
We didn't get it.
It's just so terrible.
So nice. Can we call ourselves a trio?
Oh, guys.
I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing him now. This is just rubbing it in, salt in the wound. Microsoft and Samsung shake hands. The world is a better place, Mr. Grump Butt.
Yeah.
Is it?
It is.
Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, it depends what ends up happening after this happened, right? So Microsoft and Samsung were going back and forth over their patent contract that they had between them. Samsung had agreed to pay Microsoft royalties for devices that were running Android because they didn't state this clearly, as they never do, but they were paying kind of to fend off any potential infringement of patents.
Microsoft, right? Everyone knows Microsoft owns Linux. So
they own some of the patents that seem to be covered under Linux.
Everybody knows that.
At least they're convincing OEMs of that. So Samsung had actually paid them a year ago $1 billion.
Wow.
For the year for licensing.
That's right. We saw that when Samsung was talking about their results or something. Yeah.
Right. So then when Microsoft bought Nokia's handset division, Samsung said, you know what? That's a breach of contract that you've got there between us and you over that patent deal. So Samsung stopped paying them at that point. And then Microsoft sued them, and it was about to go to court, and now they have settled. They've settled it completely. We don't know the terms of the settlement at all. We don't know if Samsung's still paying Microsoft, which I would assume is the case, but I don't know. We don't know if Microsoft conceded anything to get the settlement. We have no idea. And neither party is talking at all about the settlement terms. We just know they have settled. So I've seen people speculating this means Samsung's going to now build a Windows phone. I don't know. I would jump to that conclusion.
No, that would be like the punishment. That would be like, right,
if you build a Windows phone.
This is what went through my head, because of course I take everything literally. The statement they have says we have addressed both companies' concerns. Okay. Well, what were the concerns, right? Microsoft's concern was that it wasn't getting paid royalties. So we can assume Samsung is again paying them, right? Maybe it's not the same payment structure as before, but I think that's fair to say, right? That was Microsoft's concern. But what was Samsung's concern? Samsung's concern was that Microsoft bought Nokia and was now competing with them, and that they could no longer share information with them as a collaborator because now they were a competitor. So how does that get addressed? You know?
Right.
We don't know, because they don't. Right. I'm just, you know, again, just taking them at their word. I don't understand how this was resolved.
We don't know, because there's stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. We don't know what happened. maybe they got together and had a beer and.
Yeah.
Everything
was good after that.
They hugged each other.
I'm sure the conversation involved something like, look, Samsung, you're on the wrong end of the curve just like we are now. So
they hugged it out.
You know, maybe there's some ways we can help each other.
Yeah.
And to wrap things up, we talked about it last week, but it's now official. Sunrise Calendar has now become a part of the Microsoft application portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love Sunrise.
That's cool.
Do you?
Yeah. The bad thing is that there is, you know, Microsoft bought Acompli, which is a nice iOS Android email system. Sunrise, same thing. Got a web component. Actually has apps too. I mean, desktop applications too. The bad thing is that in both email and calendar, there's tons of competition. And at least for Sunrise, there are pretty much equivalent programs like Fantastical that a lot of iOS users use. So really,
I don't think that's the point, though. So,
right.
In other words, some kind of trend-setting iOS user is out in the world, you know.
He's not going to start using
looking
Microsoft
at calendar apps. Right. You know, that's not what it's about. This is about Outlook. It's about business.
But
it will
make Outlook better, because it's a beautiful calendar.
Yes.
It's
great calendar. Are businesses that are just rolling out iPhones for everybody, and Microsoft wants to make sure they're on those phones.
Right.
And by, you know, getting an excellent calendar solution like this and making it part of Outlook, Outlook's going to get better. It's going to benefit everyone. And by the way, it's going to benefit us, because it's going to make Outlook better on Windows as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think there'll be a Sunrise calendar app for Windows and Windows Phone now? Because there isn't.
It'd be easy to do, I would guess.
I think the smarter thing to do would not be to not worry about that and just put the stuff into the built-in app.
Build it into Outlook.
Yeah.
Yeah, build it in. Yep.
Because Outlook Desktop's always had a calendar. So shouldn't Outlook, the app, have a calendar?
Yeah, I mean, there's a calendar app on Windows Phone. It should have those features. You know,
in fact, Acompli has a calendar, too. That was one of the, the benefits of Acompli is that invitations would go into the calendar. There would be this tight integration between emailing. Email, calendar, and address book.
This is sort of an aside, but I always found it a little odd on Windows Phone, and it was unique to Windows Phone, that when this version of the OS showed up, and they had this concept of hub apps, that they for the first time took Outlook and broke it into separate apps, right? Instead of having an Outlook hub, they had a separate email app, they had a separate calendar app, they had a separate people app. And, of course, in Acompli, you see the classic style of Outlook, where it's one app that is email, context, calendar, and also cloud storage, all in one place. And I'm wondering now if they're not rethinking how they do Outlook on Windows, you know, to make it more like it kind of always was. There's no evidence of that happening. But, I mean, I it seems like that's something that should be consistent across platforms as well.
Yeah, I think it should be. If I mean, I think Outlook, because we saw on January 21st, the version of Outlook we saw them demo looked like Acompli, right?
But it was separate apps, right? Remember they said calendar
and that's true. You're right.
Email. So, just because I know people will write me, and I just want to fend off the most obvious complaints about what I just said. you know, Outlook, Windows Phone has the ability to do deep linking for tiles on the start, you know, on the start screen. So you could obviously pin calendars and email accounts and email folders and stuff to the start screen. So you're not going to lose anything. I mean, I know people like having these things separate for whatever reason, but I'm just thinking, you know, it just seems like if you're going to have one team do this across platform, it should be as consistent as possible.
Yeah.
And that would be one way they could make it more consistent.
Well, just remember what Billy and Sally say about calendars. April, May, and June are girls' names. That's why those months hang out together.
Oh, it's not why those months are catty about each other.
This is a new way to torment Paul.
I love it.
One Sunday, we were living in Phoenix. This is possibly as long as 20 years ago. One Sunday, we're sitting at the paper at the table eating breakfast, and I'm reading the paper. And I slammed the comic section down, and I got up, and I said, "That did it." And my wife said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm going to go find Bill Keene, and I'm going to kill him." and he lived in Phoenix. He lived in, like, Paradise Valley or something. Because I would read this stuff and be like, "You've got to be kidding me. What is wrong with this guy?"
I love it. Okay. Hey, Alex Scumpel has been playing with his icon with denim and the camera specifically. There's some nice camera features. You mentioned that rich capture, the HDR. Mm-hmm. There's a motion thing where you can shoot a video and take the best image from the video.
Yeah, 4K video. Yeah, 8 megapixel
really
shots.
Nice stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really nice.
Yeah, he's been really he's been loving it up. So
it is really like getting a new phone.
Yeah. You know. All right, we have a minute or two. If you chat room folk have some questions for P and MJ.
No questions about Bill Keene, please.
I was just going to say, give us some family circus.
Family
questions.
Circus questions.
Your favorite family circus moments, perhaps.
Yep.
There would have been a funnier joke if they said, "Hey, why do April, May, and June appear together on the calendar?" And then you could say, "Because they're all girls' names."
If you're going to make the argument that you could construct a joke better than Bill Keene,
I can't.
Let me
do
tell
it.
You, this ground has already been plowed.
chat room, Friendly Manitoba asks, so what's the story? Did Microsoft kill RT?
Windows RT? Yeah. They killed it.
Not runtime.
The tablet operating system. But, you know, I've seen a lot of stories saying Microsoft is still committed to Windows RT. What they mean when you see those stories is Microsoft's going to keep supporting you if you're running Windows RT for the life of the operating system, which...
Well, for the supported life of the operating system.
The supported life of the operating system,
is not the same as that 10 years that businesses get.
That's true. Right. So, what is it then, 5 years? From when it was shipped? Yeah. So yeah, they will continue to support you for that period of time and continue to patch your operating system and issue fixes and updates. But that's it. We know that there's going to be some kind of an update to Windows RT-based systems like Surface 2 and Surface RT that will be a subset of the features that are in Windows 10, and we don't know when that is or what features. So we don't really know much more than that.
But there will be Windows for ARM, but it won't be RT. It'll be Windows.
Right. It'll be Windows 10 Mobile.
10 Mobile.
Yeah.
From Battlecam comes a question for Paul. He says he saw a video of DirectX 12 showing much faster frame rates. Is that going to impact Xbox One? Does Xbox One use DirectX 12?
It will with Windows 10. DirectX 12 is going to be Windows 10 only. So, yeah, it should. It should.
So we can expect better performance on the Xbox.
There's all, you know, I try to remind people with the Xbox 360, when that thing first shipped, it was 720p only. And people, you know, everyone said, there's no way you can upgrade this. It's going to require new hardware. And they went to 1080p, and it actually kind of worked fine. Right. It was fine. Right. And I think that the Xbox One has even more headroom than did the Xbox 360, and that it will be taken advantage of more easily because of that PC architecture. And because, of course, now we're going to stop pretending it's not really Windows. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of headroom there. So I think you're going to see some good stuff on the Xbox One over time.
But you know what? We don't know how Microsoft's going to upgrade the Xbox One to Windows 10 or when, right? Like, what does that even mean in a way, right? Because now Xbox One is built on 8. Yeah.
The November 2015 system update is not going to be called Windows 10. No. I can only speculate, but yeah. They deliver monthly updates to the Xbox One. I would expect one of them or two of them or three of them to be big ones that have Windows 10 functionality. And we'll see. I mean, they're talking about it like, somebody, I think it was at the event we went to last month, someone said, we don't expect to see people running Excel on their TV screens off Xbox One, but they could.
Yep.
We'll see.
Wow.
When that happens, then I start covering the
Xbox. Then you'll finally, it's the universal app version of Notepad on an Xbox One.
Right, exactly.
Maybe you could use that, the controller keypad to, like a teenager and kind of flip through all the characters really quickly.
I'll tell you, judging by the number of people who ask on the radio show, can I use my big screen TV as a computer monitor? There might be a market for running PC applications on a
big you have to TV. Think like a supervillain these days when you make products, because people always come up with these ideas where you're like, oh yeah, like why? why I bought this all in one PC. Why can't I use it as a screen for my laptop? You're like, yeah, why can't you? Actually, that makes a lot of sense. You have the screen sitting there.
Because you're a supervillain? Maybe.
Yep. From your island fortress.
Just a note, which I think is a good note, from one of our chatters, PC, what's his name? PC Guy 8088. Love the name. He says, you should light a fire under Microsoft and tell them to post a checksum or an MD5 sum when they post ISO files, because it is not unusual, and this I will testify to, for people to have install problems because the ISO is corrupted.
It just happens to me all the time.
Yeah. Is there any reason they can't? It's done in the open source community all the time, not just to tell you.
So actually, Microsoft does provide that information oftentimes. Oh. But yeah, I mean, it's funny. I guess my problem is because I come from it from a Windows person's perspective, I don't often think of these things.
Right.
And I will spend a lot of time futzing around with trying to turn an ISO into a bootable disk of some kind, and it never works, and I don't know why. And it always comes back to that corruption, corrupted file that you downloaded through a browser.
So says they do a SHA-1 for the technical preview.
Yeah, they almost always provide it. Yeah, I don't think they do a good job of publicizing it, but they do. I think they usually do.
Paul from LF, can you do a clean install with the free Windows 10 upgrade? Will you be able to?
Oh, I, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know what form it's going to take, what it's going to look like.
But for all we know, it could be a installer in the Windows.
You're hoping it's not a store install. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, based on previous experience, last three versions of Windows now, I would say chances are very good. Yes, but we don't. We just don't know what form it's going to take.
Right. TechnoSquid does point out that if Windows 10 on Xbox One really is a full Windows 10, that would support the HoloLens.
I wouldn't go too far into
come on specifics.
Well, Windows 10, there is a version of Windows 10 that's inside the HoloLens.
No, I know, but I mean
I mean, so
I wanted the HoloLens to work with my Xboxes, I guess, what he
said. Maybe it will. I mean, I think there would be,
I think it would be an interesting gaming accessory. And by the way, that was the start of this.
Yeah.
Right. It was a gaming helmet. Right.
I think it was kind of the Illuma Room was a, like a test balloon or something.
It was almost like a an inside out version of the Illuma Room, right? When you think about it. Yeah.
Is it true Microsoft will have a program to control quadcopter delivery of beer using the Xbox One?
Yes. It is.
It's, okay. Okay.
Right.
Just go right through that. Yes.
It's a Microsoft Garage project.
Windows 10, does it handle MKV files?
Yes.
Right. I think it does, and that's what we were talking about. What a surprise that was.
It does, yeah. You'd think with all the time I've spent with MKV files over the past 2 weeks, I would know that one. I usually use VLC, which is why I had a kind
of hesitated. You don't need that, Which everybody who has any kind of computer should have a copy of VLC.
Yep.
Plug. I think so. DC Downey, which Windows phone has the best camera quality? The 1120, right?
Which Windows phone?
Yeah.
1020.
I mean, 1020. Technically,
the 1020, but I would say that, especially with Denim now, on an Icon 930, 1520, the performance improvements and the quality improvements, too, because that's another thing you get through Denim. Just put those put them over the top. I already thought they were pretty close. I mean, and almost directly comparable.
Yeah, the 41 megapixels is kind of a red herring. You don't use it all the time.
Yeah, sure.
I guess the one advantage is the ability to crop, to zoom cropping.
But you get that on those other devices too. It's just 20 megapixels versus 40.
Yeah, and that's plenty, frankly.
Yeah, I think so.
The Fixer wants to know, have Microsoft has said when it's going to kill IE and replace it with Project Spartan?
A lot of killing in the questions.
Killing.
Pilots up there.
Yeah. Oh, that's them. Yeah.
Well, we know in Windows 10 that there's still going to be the ability to download IE 11 for people who want it on desktop machines, at least. I forget when the end of supported life is for IE, or if they're, since Microsoft's going to continue to build it in, maybe they're, this is not an end of life kind of a thing.
Yeah, I don't, I suspect it will be there. I guess the question is going to be, will Windows 10 ship with just Spartan by default for consumers? And if so, you'll never see IE.
I think it will ship. Yeah, it will ship on all desktop, tablet, phone versions of Windows 10, and then IE will be available for some of those.
I would. I mean, this is a much bigger step than maybe we're giving Microsoft credit for. You know, IE has its issues, but it's also a known quantity. So when you upgrade IE on subsequent versions of Windows, it's kind of a known thing. I mean, switching to Project Spartan is a very big step.
Yeah.
Assuming that's what they do.
Yeah, Spartan and IE 11 share the same rendering engine now, which is the fork of Trident. So.
Yeah, but they're really turning off a lot of compatibility stuff, which frankly should work fine on the modern web.
Yeah.
But it's a big step. It's a big, it's hard to walk. You know, it's like a hoarder kind of thing. Like you've got all this backwards compatibility sitting there in the corner and you never really use it, but it's a safety net. You know,
it's not really the modern web that business worries about. It's line of business apps specifically written for an intranet.
Yeah.
But it is what consumers worried about. Hopefully we haven't even seen it. So we're talking about this thing, you know, we're assuming it's going to solve all our problems. And we'll see. I hope it does, but
We haven't seen it in any working build yet, right?
It's a big step. I mean,
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if they replaced it because that's not in Microsoft's DNA is to cut people off.
I know. It's just unusual. I mean, when you think about it like that,
A couple of questions from
Anything about Call of Duty strategy?
No. Sintram Sway and Jake both want to know what you know about the Raspberry Pi 2 with Windows 10. Has Microsoft revealed anything? I mean,
No, we believe
the version of Windows 10 that is going to run is the one that's codenamed Athens, which Microsoft has not talked a lot about. Athens is Windows 10 for IoT, and we know that it runs on Intel and ARM, both. But beyond that, they haven't given us a lot of details yet.
I did order a Raspberry Pi.
Did you?
I just got my shipping notification.
Awesome.
So
what are you going to do with it? Up.
I'm going to turn lights on and off and...
Nice.
I love it. I mean the idea is just amazing.
I love the idea.
$35, yeah. Like basically PC capability.
Yeah.
And bundling Windows 10 is so interesting.
They're going to make a case out of wood like Wozniak did for the Apple One.
Yeah.
Like use my solder gun and to write my name in the bottom.
Tie it to that old 9-inch CRT TV you've got.
Wood burn.
You could use a soldering iron to wood burn.
That's true. Yeah.
I just wouldn't use it again on soldering.
Yeah, you could use it once. It's like using a coffee grinder for spices. It's over.
It's over now. Unless you like cumin in your coffee.
Yeah. Is that jalapeno?
Syracuse PC Repair wants to know what your gamer tag is.
It's just my name. So Paul space Therot.
Mary Jo, what's your gamer tag?
Hadoop. That's mine.
I love it.
Yep. Love it.
Oh, I love it.
The Hadoopinator.
There probably is somebody out there with Hadoop as their gamer tag, but yeah. That is not really me.
What about, let me scroll down here. Any chance, this is from Cadman, Microsoft will put out a version of Visual Studio to create ARM desktop applications that'll follow the new Microsoft Async programming model with sales and installations via the store app.
That's very specific.
Well, first, ARM doesn't have a desktop, so they mean desktop PC.
No, he means,
right?
In other words, you can use Visual Studio hardware to create a Windows Store app today that runs on ARM.
Which you can.
He wants a desktop app.
Yep.
I have to say, I've been saying this ever since Windows 8 was even announced. They have to get the store to a point where you can put desktop apps through it. And they need an approval and, whatever process so they can make sure that these things don't, blow away power management and don't do the wrong things here and there and whatever. To me, that's at the point at which, the store becomes truly useful because modern apps and universal apps are all very cute and everything, but we don't really have a lot of them. And I hope they do that, but I've heard nothing about that.
Well, do you remember that guy from Microsoft, I forget his name now, who published a blog post way back in October, and he said in that blog post that they've since removed that Win32 apps would be in the store with the new Windows 10 store.
No, I don't, but that's, yeah. They have
so
to.
There's some hope there, yeah.
Yeah. Even if they took Win32 and made a... I'm saying something so stupid. I was just like a subset of it that was somehow safe, known to be. I
think that's what Billy said in Family Circus.
I think he did. I think
you're not stupid. You're special.
Thank you. Hey, follow up on your article, and I apologize if you've written it and I haven't read it, but somebody is asking, if I can download an ISO and make a clean install of Windows 8 on my HP Stream with all the crapware, or whatever. You were going to talk about
Windows 8 with Bing.
Yeah.
All right. So there are two outliers in the clean PC world, right? Actually, there's more than two, but the two big ones. One is Windows 8.0, right? So you bought a PC that had 8.0 on it. Could you download a version of 8.1, use the product key from 8.0? Make that work. So far, I've not been able to get that to work. The other one, of course, is Windows 8.1 with Bing. And the reason that's such an important one is because there are so many of those machines in the world. And a lot of them, when you think about it, like a cheap PC.
Those are the worst, right? Yeah.
So obviously, off the bat, if you can do it, buy it from Microsoft, get the signature version. I'm forgetting.
But they don't
have
signature versions of everything. I mean, this HP Stream, is there a signature
version? The Stream is there. The Stream tablets are there. If you have that choice,
how much more do you pay for it?
None. There's no extra cost.
Oh.
So but maybe you bought one somewhere else. It's too late, right? So what's the solution there? Obviously, there's this simple act of after the fact decrapifying. I did write an article about that. The next step after that would be creating a system image backup that you could then use to restore to that point.
Right.
But those things become out of date over time, too. I mean, any...
But doesn't that back up the crapware?
Well, in other words, you clean the machine.
Oh, clean it first and then back
up. Then do a system image, right? I'm going to write that second half. It's
but you can't... There's not a lot to discuss. We speculate maybe you could download...
you cannot download the Bing version.
No.
The other thing you could do, by the way, is you could spend $99 or potentially less than $99 if you just buy Windows. Yeah. Yep. But you spend $200 on a laptop. You're going to spend $100 on Windows?
Yeah, I mean, no, really.
So it's a tough one. There's no clean solution to that as of today. But
all right.
Yeah, there's some workarounds.
By the way, just to reiterate, the Dell, the new XPS 13, has really very little crapware on it. The That's only good. One I would say is the McAfee Center, which is easy to uninstall, and I did immediately. And there's some Dell stuff, but you know,
McAfee must be the result of some deal with the devil that all major PC makers made. Yeah. I don't understand how they can, with any credibility, ship that. It's crazy how common that software is.
I know. And you don't need it on a Windows 8 machine.
You do not need it. It's first thing it does is pop up something and say, hey, you might be unprotected.
Right.
Screw you. That's
maybe it comes with the processor. So maybe you get a deal on the chip because it is Intel. Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's a requirement of using an Intel processor. That and the Chrome browser toolbar, you know.
Yeah. So the good news is the Dell, even though it's not a signature, I got it from Dell, is clean enough that
it's clean. That's good.
Yeah. There's Dell update stuff, but I think that's normal. I don't think that's not.
Yeah,
I would call.
Leo, look, we're going to see good, bad, and indifferent this year with new PCs. But I can tell you, some of the new PCs coming down the pike are going to be even worse with crapware than the stuff we've seen already, including video pop-up ads. Crazy, crazy stuff is coming this year.
That's something
to
be aware of.
Why do you think that?
Because I've talked to people about it, and it's
awful.
Yep,
and blame goes to the OEMs on that. That's not anything Microsoft.
The other thing, I've heard this from more than one company, more than one person at different companies who are PC makers, who have basically said this notion that crapware is necessary because there's razor thin margins was true for many, many years. With the way Windows is licensed today, they're just. You know, it's like the price of fuel's gone down, but the price of airline tickets has never gone down. It's like crack. They cannot walk away from it. It almost doesn't matter what Microsoft does at this point. They just can't walk away from it.
They're hooked.
Wow. I have a question for us on Twitter.
Okay.
This is a good one, actually, that we should talk about. Any ideas or rumors about what Microsoft will use the Windows 365 trade name for that they registered recently?
Right.
So I can tell you what they're not going to use it for. They're not.
I know where you're going with this one.
They're not going to charge you as a consumer for the free upgrade or the security and feature fixes that you obtain from Microsoft.
Easily have gotten 20 emails claiming that's exactly what they get.
Free is free.
Right. But, you know, it's very interesting. They trademarked Windows 365. And sometimes Microsoft trademarks things because they're doing that almost as a defensive measure. Yeah. So they don't want anybody else to get that trademark, right? But then there's also the question about whether Microsoft will charge businesses in some way for their updates to Windows. Because we know they're not going to charge the consumers on the free one-year deal. But
right.
I would think they may charge businesses in some way. Maybe something like if a business doesn't agree to go on the fast track, they might have to pay. And if they do that, that will be super unpopular, but maybe. Or maybe they take a bunch of services and bundle them together like we saw them do last holiday with Xbox and Office 365, and they call that a subscription for Windows, right? That could be another thing they call Windows 365. If I were them, though, I would stay away from that name because once you use that name, it's going to be like Office 365.
It could simply be the name of a warranty program that they give you through the Microsoft Store, right? It could be anything. Yep. I mean, I wouldn't worry about that one too much. But I think the important takeaway here, though, is what you said up front, which is they're not like reneging on the deal they just made. You're getting it for free.
Forever.
You know, when you, for the, yeah. during the first year you can get it for free, but it's for free. Yeah, it's free forever.
Free.
Free for the life of the device, supported life of the device, which is kind of a squishy term. Yep. But
it's more than a year.
More than a year.
Much more than a year.
Well, in other words, I think what they're trying to say is you've acquired your free version of Windows, you've applied it to your Dell 13 there, and now it's 5 years later or 6 years later, and you're going to retire that device, and you want to bring your free version of Windows 10 to another device. The answer there is no, you can't do that. It's for that device. I mean, that's reasonable. This is not how they get you. It's just it's a reasonable.
Yeah. And you can also understand why people are worried about Microsoft getting them.
Yeah, definitely.
They're
not a charity.
That's for
they're
sure.
They're a business.
They're a charity case in some ways, but yes.
Yeah, well, they're a business, though. And, you know, like we said at the beginning of the show, they're not making Windows free for everybody in every circumstance. They still want to make some money off of Windows, right?
Sure.
This is not the new business model.
Right.
Great. I think that worked quite well, so much so that we're now behind, so...
Oh, no.
All right. Let's move quickly then.
Let's take a break. And then when we come back, the back of the book, picks, hardware pick, software pick, tips, enterprises, and beer. All the things you care most about.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Our show today brought to you by our phone system. It's kind of funny to sing the praises of a phone system, but when you have a phone system that really works, if you're the boss anyway... You're going to say hallelujah, and I'm the boss. I got to pay for it, and I'm so glad that instead of going with a local phone company and putting a PBX in the basement and all that stuff, we got RingCentral. RingCentral is awesome. It is a cloud-based phone system that saves us money, saves us time. I would even be willing to pay extra money for the features I get from RingCentral. It's because it's cloud-based, first of all, you can customize your system from a web browser. You can use mobile apps. They have apps for iPhone and Android. It's very easy. In fact, you can use your smartphone to make business calls from your business number, even if it's an 800 number. You can use your smartphone to make texts from your business number and to receive texts from your business number. You can, of course, use a desk phone. In fact, we've got a deal for you on desk phones. We use, Polycom phones throughout the business. Including the Polycom conference phone you see in every conference room. Yep, that works with RingCentral. Your calls are encrypted and private with secure voice, which is really awesome. The phone company can't tell you that. Customer support is free and 24/7. No setup fees, no activation fees. You keep your existing numbers. You can use toll-free numbers, local extensions. You can even create vanity numbers. It's easy to create new numbers. And I love this. RingCentral has just announced that RingCentral integrates with your company's Google for Work accounts. RingCentral for Google, one seamless communication hub. You can increase productivity by handling everything without leaving Google Apps. For instance, click the dial pad on your screen to make calls from your Gmail account. Click any number on the screen in Gmail contacts or calendars to place that call. List, just like you're on your smartphone, only you're on your... there isn't even a PC phone system, so you can use... You could all work from your PC entirely. Listen to your voicemails directly within Gmail. Faxing from Google Drive. Viewing text messages, scheduling conference calls. It's just so awesome. RingCentral starts at $25, under $25 a month per user. And you can start right now with a 30-day risk-free trial. And a special offer for our listeners. For every desk phone you buy, you get a second phone free, up to a total of 20 phones. So go to ringcentral.com, use the promo code TWIT, or call 800-543-9980. 800-543-9980, ringcentral.com. Use the promo code TWIT. We use it and love it. Recommend it highly. RingCentral. All right, time for the back of the book. We'll kick things off with Paul Thurrott and his tip of the week.
So through the end of February, if you go to the Bing Rewards website, you don't have to be a new user of it. You could just click on a link. You can get 100 gigabytes of free OneDrive storage for 2 years. So,
wow,
just free to do.
You probably have unlimited storage because you're an Office 365 user.
I do.
Yeah.
But not everyone has that.
But if you don't have that. Now, and what does it mean when I get Bing Rewards? Do I have to look at ads, more ads or something?
It means that you have to give Microsoft all of your private information.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No problem. Actually, it just means you are either joining or verifying that you're already a member of this program. Right. Bring Awards is a way to reward people who use the Bing service with points that you can use to cash in for things. So, for example, I've used it to get Xbox Live credit or Xbox Live Music past months or whatever, you know, stuff like that.
So you should, this is something you should do anyway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Assuming you want to use Bing, I'm sure I've talked about Bing Rewards at some point in the past, but yeah, absolutely.
It's things like using Bing, inviting friends.
Yeah. Stuff doing like certain that. Searches. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So the only issue, I can't remember if I just said this, but it may be only available in the US. I know people get freaked about that kind of thing. I'm not sure. It may only be U.S. only. So if it's not available to you, I apologize. And then I usually do a software pick of the week. But actually, I had a hardware review this week that I think was more important than any of the software I saw. There was Skype updates and stuff like that. But Surface Hub app was updated if you have a Surface Pro 3. I saw this device way back in August. And Nokia used to have a bunch of different charging plates for their QI.
Like a pillow.
Yeah, I have it right over here. The fat boy pillow.
Yeah.
And they also had a smaller charging plate, but this new version of the charging plate is awesome. So it's big, which means that your device won't slip off it too much. And actually, if you can show me real quick, I'll show you my. So it has this really neat, I don't know if you can see it very well.
It's about the size of a kidney.
Yeah.
But flat. But
it's got this color light under it, like the undercarriage of a car.
Yeah. It actually fits your Icon or your 930 exactly.
Yeah.
With a little bit
of slot. So if you have denim, you get a software update. Part of the software update is the devices hub that lets you control the features of this charging plate. So you can set up like a night mode where the light doesn't come on at night. So if you're in a dorm room or sharing a room with other people, you have it by your bed or whatever,
it's not on.
It will sort of, I hate to say it this way, but it will sort of gently throb, if you will, the light if your phone needs to be charged, but it's not charging.
That's
what's
neat.
That?
Look how pretty that is.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. But I can see why you turn that off.
You can set up notifications. So, for example, while it's on the plate, it can actually specify a special pulsing of light every time an app sends a notification, which is something you have to turn on. And then you can set which apps do that and, you know, how they work and so forth. And so it's about $60. But if you've ever used wireless charging, you know how cool it is. And this one solves the issue that I had with previous ones, which was just that, I don't know if it was like my cats would walk by and knock it off the plate or whatever, but because they were smaller, it was easy to not be centered right on the plate. And now with this new version, you can be off center and it still works just fine. So a big, big improvement. And it's made better if you have denim, the denim update.
One more reason to hate AT&T. For taking Qi out of my 1520.
Well, just like the PC makers are the worst part of the PC business, the wireless carriers are the worst part of the
But Microsoft shouldn't let them.
Don't have a choice, you know.
Yeah, the Lumia uses Qi charging.
Trust me, they're as frustrated by this as all of us are. They really are.
I mean, is the PowerMat Alliance more ubiquitous than Qi? I don't think
it's the same crack argument, Leo. You know, they're making a payment to AT&T, you know, they're getting a little, you know, vig on the back end, and that's how these companies work.
It's just frustrating.
I know, it's sad.
All right, moving along. We got to cheer up. Enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley.
Enterprise pick of the week is Windows Server 2016. And we talked a little bit about this last week. We said that Microsoft had postponed the next version of Windows Server to calendar 2016. But, you know, when they talked about it last week, they didn't really tell us why. They gave kind of an answer like, yeah, we're working on it. We want more feedback. And now, this week, a video of Jeffrey Snover, who's a distinguished engineer at Microsoft, speaking at Tech Days Online, where I spoke last week, he laid out more of a compelling reason why this may be pushed back. I would advise anybody interested in Windows Server to go and look for this recording. It's a 30-minute presentation that he did on Channel 9. And he talks about what they're doing under the covers in Windows Server around, he called it deep refactoring. And basically what they're doing is doing a lot of work around turning Server into something with dual profiles. And these profiles are server and then something they're calling cloud optimized server. So they're doing a lot of things underneath. We already knew they were going to use a container model with Windows Server, but he really gets into the details about where they're really making some very deep level changes at the API level in Windows Server. So I would say go watch this. He says that Microsoft will explain this in much more depth at Build and at the Ignite conferences. But he gives a very high level overview about how they're, I would say, like simplifying and kind of piecing out Windows Server moving forward and some of the under the cover changes. So it's worth a look for sure.
Your rumor of the week.
Yep. So this is kind of a no-brainer rumor, but also an interesting rumor. I heard from one of my contacts this week that Microsoft's going to be doing a lot more with the pen that's part of the Surface right now. So we all know Microsoft's very pen crazy, and they're with the Surface Hub they've got coming out, that new conferencing system, it's all pen enabled, and the Surface Pro 3, the pen is a very big part of that device. We are hearing now that Microsoft may allow the pen, that same pen that they're using in the Surface, to be used with some of the future Windows phones that they have in the pipeline. So that gets kind of interesting then. The Surface becomes more of a generic peripheral that will be used on more than just the Surface. It'll be on some of these Windows 10 phones, perhaps. Maybe some of these new flagship phones that we hear rumored for announcement later this year.
Very interesting.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah. Yep.
And finally, I think we really should do a beer pick of the week this week.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. One of my listeners and correspondents, Chips, he said, you know what? You should do a winter beer pick because it's been snowing a lot up in Paul's neck of the woods.
Oh, that's it. I haven't noticed.
Yeah, I know you didn't notice.
How many feet do you have right now?
I know.
77 inches of snow in the past 17 days.
Insane. Insane. But Chips made a good point.
Right.
Yeah, he said, do a winter beer pick, but make sure it's not too high alcohol because you don't want people falling down when they're shoveling.
No.
So I did a pick of a beer that I had when I was in England last week. It's from Adnams Brewing, and it's called Tally Ho. And they call this a barley wine. In the U.S., when you have a barley wine, it's usually like 12% or 13%. This is around 7%. Oh. But it's still a very nice seasonal beer, kind of raisiny and biscuity. I think it would be a nice beer to have in the winter when you still need to do some shoveling. You don't want to get too, you know, tired after your heavy U.S. style barley wines.
But it does say you have to serve this in a snifter.
Yeah, a snifter. If you have a snifter, it would be a nice thing to serve.
If you know what a snifter is.
Excuse me? Do I have a white dinner jacket and a black dinner jacket? Of course I have a snifter.
Of course I have a snifter.
What are you talking about?
Should I wear tails with my snifter?
What am I, a Yale man?
Well, tally-ho.
I have a nice accompanying pick to go with this, too. That's something I also got to try when I was in England last week. There's a company called We Love Man Food. WeLoveManFood.com.
We do and these love guys, man food.
Right. They make foods for blokes, as they say. But,
I like it. What
they
does
make
that
pickles,
mean?
They make pickles and jams and jellies. And one of their new product lines that I got to try are a bunch of jellies that they make out of beer.
Beer jelly. That's man food if I ever heard of it.
It's actually delicious. They do four different kinds. And yeah, you could eat it with a spoon. You could put it on toast. It also is really nice with a cheese plate. And sometimes they suggest excellent with duck and game.
This would be great, though. Yeah, with a nice Cotswold.
Yes.
This would be good with cheese, yeah.
Right now, only distributed in the UK. But perhaps sometime soon they will come to other regions and maybe even here. So if you can get them. I don't think you can order it. I don't think so. But if you're in the UK, check out We Love Man Food if you like beer, because these jellies are pretty good.
Love. Mm. And then there's also a Man Food pickle gift box for £20. including an ale chutney.
That sounds good.
It's got your pickle lily, your archer picker, your ale chutney, and your bread and butter pickle.
Bread and butter pickle. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, how about the Man Food cocktail jam gift box? That's
you
jam.
Want these? Admit
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I do. Ooh,
I'll have to bring
good.
Some back when I go back because I know the folks who run this company,
and they do have a jelly, a beer jelly gift box. So
great. Yeah, John Honeyball, who I think Paul knows, he's one of the guys involved, and yep. and Andre Dang also. That's their company.
His name is really John Honeyball?
It is.
And the company is Honeyball and Dang?
No. It's We Love Man Food.
It sounds like a high-end audio.
Sounds like a law firm.
They should really start. Think of it. Think of naming themselves Honeyball and Dang.
That'd be good.
If you guys think you want to get in the U.S., I think I know a great place to advertise to make your splashy debut.
Where would that be?
Windows Weekly, my friends. Paul Thurrott is at the new Thurrott.com. 3 T's, 2 R's, a U and an O. You put it together.
It's just not in that order.
What does it smell?
Just throw those letters in a blender and you'll be there in minutes.
Great news and information. It's everything that other site used to be and so much more. More Paul, more often. His hair's looking really good. I'm mad at you for that.
Sorry about
yours
that.
Yours is growing back.
It's growing back. I got hair anyway. That's the start. It's kind of looking kind of, I don't know what to think about.
Listen, we're going to have to go through this awkward stage. This is no
we're
way around
it. We're in the awkward
it.
Stage, yeah. You know, but you're not. That's what I hate about you. You look good. Did you get a pro to clean it up?
Yeah. I got to go back because, of course, what's going to happen is I'm going to have like the side of my head's going to grow out. And...
You mean like this?
Yeah.
Starting to look weird.
It's like the aurora of a sun.
It got weird, man.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's the ZDNet blog where she hangs her hat. And we do this show every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC, live.twit.tv. If you can't be here live, we will make an on-demand version available to you at absolutely no additional cost. Just go to twit.tv/WW or subscribe in your favorite podcatcher. There are many on Windows Phone. We even have a couple of Windows Phone apps. Thank you. A tip of the hat to Dimitri Lialin and our other great third-party developers. Lots of ways to watch or listen, as the case may be. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.
Bye-bye.